So anyway, if you would turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 14, verse 15. This is all written in red, and this is all Jesus talking. Everything that I'm going to share with you today is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's having a conversation with them, and I'll get into that in just a minute. So in verse 15, it says this: "If you love me, obey me, my commandments, and my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, that lives within us, God. We thank you, God, for our hearts, God, being desirable, God, to welcome him in and to allow him to live through our lives. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, God, that it never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, I thank you that your word would fall on hungry hearts this morning. God, that you would change and rearrange our hearts, our perspectives. God, let us be able to see and hear what heaven says. And Lord God, we pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Well, amen. It is, again, an important thing to see, because what we have to understand is in this is that it's written in red. And this story, this whole thing that's happening right now in this is Jesus is talking to his disciples. Okay, that's not important, right? What's the important thing is this is one of the last conversations that he has before he bears the cross. Okay, so he's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane right now. He's on his way. He stops right before a vineyard. So, you know, John 15 is about the vine, and he says, "I am the vine," because he had taken him through a vineyard. Right before that, he has this conversation, and this is what he tells them. Those verses that I just read to you. And he says, "Look, I'm going to be leaving," implying that he's going to be taking on the cross, being put in a tomb. He's going to end up being at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so this is where he's at, and he says this: "And he will give you another advocate." Now, most of us don't use that word advocate, but that word is just like me. Another one just exactly like me, okay? So what is he saying is this: is I'm going to give you a Jesus that can live in you, okay? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus that lives in you. So we've got God the Father, we've got God the Son, we've got God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. There's not a less and greater. They're all equals. They have different roles. It's just like right now, if I was to take an egg and crack it open, there's three aspects of an egg, right? There's the shell, God. There is a white, Jesus. There is a yolk, Holy Spirit. There are three aspects of God, and they all need each other to be able to do what they're called to do. Does that make it clear enough? So you have to understand is that Jesus, this is not me telling you that you need the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus telling you that you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling the disciples, "Look, I know you don't think you need what I'm about to tell you, but you need what I'm about to tell you. I understand what you're about to have to go through. I understand what you're about to have to face. And thank God I've had the Holy Spirit the whole time, from the moment that I received the baptism, whenever John baptized me, and I had the Holy Spirit in me. Trust me, you need him." This is what Jesus is saying. Look at somebody this morning and say, "You need the Holy Spirit." Remind them of their attitude they had with you a couple of weeks ago. Be like, "You need the Holy Spirit." "He wouldn't have done that to me. He'd have been sweet." Right? See, the Holy Spirit is this. What is the Spirit? What type of personality is he? We got Holy Bible. How many of you know the Holy Bible is great, but I want you to know the Holy Spirit is more. It is more important to have the Holy Spirit than just to have Holy Scripture. Right? But what does the Spirit do? What does this Spirit do? This Spirit makes you what? This Spirit makes you holy. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit, because he lives in us to make us more like who? Jesus, right? So he's called the Holy Spirit because he lives in us to make us holy or like Christ, right? And so this is why you need him, because many of us are trying to get holy, trying to get more like Jesus without the Holy Spirit, and you will never accomplish it, because your sin nature doesn't like to be holy. Your sin nature likes to be like Adam and Eve, your great-great-grandparents, and choose self over Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit chooses kingdom over itself. Does that make sense? So I'm trying to break down some theology real quick for you so you can understand why you need Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is so vital for you to be able to live out the life that God has for you. See, hope, you know, this as far as security, you will never be more secure than when you have the Holy Spirit in you. He is the one that reassures everything that you're going to be able to do on this earth. There are things that in my own ability, I could never do. But with the Holy Spirit, I can do all things because of who he is inside of me. And so I'm going to start off with, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. So important that I understand this Holy Spirit isn't just one and he bounces from person to person. This is the Holy Spirit who lives in each and every one of you who ask him into your heart. And he lives in you. So right now, there are hundreds of Holy Spirits in here this morning. I mean, it's one Spirit, but he's living in all of us this morning. And he never leaves you. That means when you're alone, you don't have to be alone. That means when you don't have an answer, you can call upon Holy Spirit and he will give you an answer. So here's this, write this down. You're not alone when you're alone. Some of you all need to really own that and understand that when you're alone, you're not alone. Because the enemy, see what the enemy does is he wants to try to isolate you. But when you understand you have Holy Spirit on the inside of you, no matter the isolation that you may be in the natural, when you understand Holy Spirit, you begin to call on him. Because a lot of times what we do, right, when we're by ourselves, we begin to think that we're just by ourselves. But what Jesus is wanting us to know is that he will never leave you. When you feel all alone, he's going to be right there. Now, as I'm preaching this, I'm getting this revelation of, now Jesus is preaching to himself right now. Because Jesus knows he's headed into Garden of Gethsemane where he is going to be all by himself. And he is prophesying and speaking life and encouragement into himself because I know I'm about to be alone. But I'm not alone. And it is the Holy Spirit in him that says, look, you've got to do the will of God over your own will. And what does Jesus say? Not my will, but yours. That was the Holy Spirit speaking out of him. His flesh was saying, can this cup pass from me? Jesus, the Savior of the world, who left heaven to come and do this, still did not want to do it. But the Holy Spirit on the inside of him provoked his heart and said, look, we've got to do the will of God. All of us will only accomplish the will of God in our lives through our surrender to the Holy Spirit. You're not alone when you're alone. And you've got to know this, that this is a security that Jesus gave us so that you never have to face any battle alone. I can't tell you how many times I've been writing a sermon or I've been counseling somebody or I'm in the middle of something with ministry and I don't know the answer. And I don't know how to respond. Thank God that I can call on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I really need your help right now. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I'm actually right here, so let me speak to you. And he begins to speak to you and he begins to reassure and he begins to, now understand, this is something you have to learn. This is something you have to begin to hear the voice. Just like when you started learning your English language, you had to begin to learn to understand this thing. And as you begin to commune with the Holy Spirit, you begin to learn when he's tugging at your heart and when he's giving you an answer, when he's directing and guiding you, right? So it says, he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. See, this is why it's so important. When you know that you're not alone, you begin to look for him. The world doesn't have him, so they can't look for him. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of believers who've said yes to Jesus, right? So everything you do, he wants to be a part of, right? How many of you guys have any 2 or 3-year-olds running around your house? Then you know exactly what the Holy Spirit's like. That is the Holy Spirit, is a 2 or 3-year-old when you have to go to the shower. I want to go take a shower. When you want to go outside, they want to go outside. When you want to do something, they want to do something. This is the Holy Spirit. He wants to go wherever you're going. He wants to be a part of everything that you're doing, right? This should be good news because the Holy Spirit wants to help you in everything that you're doing. He wants to go with you. He is that 2 or 3-year-old saying, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, please, Mommy, Mommy, okay, seriously, come. Now, we don't want to get irritated with the Holy Spirit like that because the Holy Spirit is here to help, 2 or 3 year olds here to just bother us. Right? Take up our time and consume and like a little sucker. But the Holy Spirit is not a sucker. He infuses where the 2 or 3 year old takes away. I'm kidding, but seriously. I think he gave us 2 or 3 year olds so that we knew we needed a Holy Spirit. See, with the Holy Spirit, you are much bigger internally than you feel externally. Look, a lot of us, we don't feel very big. We don't feel very significant. We don't feel like we've got a lot going on. But you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are way bigger on the inside than you may feel externally. What's going on in your world? What's going on in your life? The answers that you don't have. The stress that you're carrying. The worries that you're dealing with. The Holy Spirit has got you. You know, in working out, there's this kind of thing called a spotter. And then what they do is, like, if you're trying to lift a max, like if you're maxing out, you use a spotter. And what does that spotter do? Is if you can't get it up, they help you get it up. That's the Holy Spirit. That whenever the pressure of life comes, the Holy Spirit is that spotter and says, hey, bro, I got you. You know, you have to know that the Holy Spirit will help you. You are way bigger internally than you are externally. I know that a lot of times certain situations and circumstances in our world can make us feel way smaller. That's the goal of the enemy, right? To shrink down who God is in our lives. But that's why you've got to know you have a Holy Spirit on the inside of you that says you are way bigger, you are way badder, you are way smarter, you are way stronger, you are way more confident, you have way more hope, you have way more joy because of what's in you. I thought I'd get a better amen than that, but that's okay. So this is, the Holy Spirit is a constant reminder of what Jesus did for you, as well as what he wants to do for you. The Holy Spirit is this constant reminder that, hey, I'm really for you. Whenever, because at the end of the day, most times in situations and circumstances in our lives, what do? We tend to immediately revert to, God's left me. God's not for me. Why is this happening to me? God, if you were here, this wouldn't happen. That is wrong theology. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and he is there. I remember when I just did my surgery, and we got this doctor bill, and it was this crazy amount of number right there. I remember sitting there in that moment. I thought, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. Because I want to choke her, and she just gave me a really big number, and I want to, but the Holy Spirit refrained me? Not really. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit, is because the Holy Spirit reminds us of how much Jesus is for us. Because this world is constantly reminding us that God isn't for us. Because we base our relationship with Jesus on circumstances and how we feel. Some of you all need to stop petting your feelings and start listening to the Holy Spirit. I mean, we coddle our feelings as if it's a little 2-month-old puppy. It's like, oh. And the Holy Spirit's like, you can't do that. The Holy Spirit is there to let you know that Jesus is for you, that he never leaves you nor forsakes you, that he calls you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But you got to have the Holy Spirit or you're going to be empty inside. You're going to be so void of power and confidence and hope without him. That's why Jesus said this. He said, look, I am leaving. I am leaving this world, but I am leaving you another. I am leaving as Jesus, but I am putting in you Jesus. Why would he think that that was so important to tell them right before he goes to the cross? Because he needs you to know that you need the Holy Spirit. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you think theological. That is in red. You can take that up with God when you get to heaven, but I want you to know you need to look at somebody and say, you need the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you've been taught. You need the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I'm trying to say this morning? Have you got it yet? You need the Holy Spirit. See, separation was an issue at one time, right? The Bible says that sin separated us. But Jesus dying on the cross and bringing Holy Spirit back into our lives eliminated that separation, eliminated the distance that you will no longer struggle with separation. You will no longer deal with you being distant from God. That in a moment you can call upon the Holy Spirit and he is there. I mean, right now, Haley is pregnant. Would you stand up, Haley, and show them that beautiful belly? Look at that. That's the Holy Spirit. No matter where she goes, no matter where she can go and run in the kitchen, she can run in the bathroom, she can run outside. Guess where the Holy Spirit's going? Wherever Haley goes. And you have to think about that, that you are impregnated with the Spirit of God that is living on the inside of you. And wherever you go, Holy Spirit goes. Thank you. Sometimes you need a visual to catch that. So every time you see a pregnant woman, you'd be like, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? Because I should have done Hannah. She's way bigger. She's about to pop, so. And I don't mean bigger as in bigger. I mean as in you're farther along. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Give me the words to say. I'm just kidding. See, Jesus is always available. Jesus is always available. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. We think that we've got to get to church. I just got to get to church and pray. No, you can pray on your car. In your car, you can pray in your closet. You can pray in your bedroom. You can, wherever you're at, you can pray. You can call on Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. So many of us have a wrong theology that we need Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. He's like the third in line. Wrong. Why would Jesus tell them this is what you need if you just barely needed it? You need the Holy Spirit because it's Jesus in spirit form living on the inside of you. You need him. Jesus is available because the Holy Spirit is within you. Man, I hope you get this. If you get this, your world will be changed. If you get this, when you go, wherever you go, your world will change. People's worlds will change because you're aware of the Holy Spirit in you. People will begin to get touched. People will begin to get transformed because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You'd be like, I don't know why I'm going here. Just say I'm led by the Spirit. So many of us are like, I don't want to miss it. Look, miss trying and just try. Like, just give Jesus a chance to prove himself in your life. Jesus hasn't been like, dude, I didn't tell you to do that. I can't believe. Like, he's big enough to take on the weight when he's living in you and he's directing you and guiding you just to go and try to do what God is asking you to do. It's okay. I've missed the Holy Spirit. Your pastor has missed the Holy Spirit. I mean, 2-3 times. Let me just tell you a couple stories. I didn't even hear that. But I remember going, I was dating Alicia, and I was traveling from Tulsa back and forth, and that was when there was this little gas station in the middle, you know, back from Tulsa to here, there was a gas station, Burger King, all this kind of stuff. And I remember the Holy Spirit putting on my heart whenever, as soon as I pulled in there, the Holy Spirit said, you need to go in and pay for gas. And I said, get behind me, Satan, I got a debit card. And he said, you need to go see the attendant. And I said, no. And I slid it in there. I thought that was just me talking, you know? Anybody else, if we're really honest, ever feel like it's just you? Okay, just me. I'll talk to myself. I'll preach to myself this morning. And I slid in my card to pay for my gas, and it started flashing. See attendant. See attendant. No lie. I said, ah, it's broken. Slid it back in there. See attendant. See attendant. I said, okay, I get you, Holy Spirit. I go in. I walk up to the lady. I said, hey, how you doing? She was like, not good. I go, oh, man, that stinks. I need 20 on pump two. I walked out. Church, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in people's lives. And it's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we can help people. The Holy Spirit is not in us just to make us strong. It's to make us love other people so that they can meet Jesus. And it allowed me to be able to minister to somebody. But I overrode the Holy Spirit. Did you know you can override the Holy Spirit? You can tell him no anytime you want. And he doesn't give you a stomach. Oh my gosh, I can't get out of the gas station. And he doesn't do that. He says, okay, you're going to miss the opportunity to be able to see a miracle. You're going to be able to miss the opportunity to be able to let this person know who Jesus is. Because you understand the whole role and the assignment of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus famous. You realize that, right? Like, it is not to make us famous. It's not to do anything other than make heaven known. That's what the whole role of the Holy Spirit is. And so you have to know that when the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart to do something, he's provoking you to go make heaven famous, to be able to go make somebody else know who Jesus is. Is that clear enough? See, the Holy Spirit desires for your connection to be with Christ. Your connection to Christ is in your connection to the Holy Spirit. I think that we think, I got to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you do, but you need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because it's in your connection with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit begins to let Jesus know, hey, we need to begin to intercede on their behalf over this. There are decisions that this church is going to have to make in the future, and without the Holy Spirit, we will miss it. We'll be like, I just thought we were supposed to do this instead of this. But we're called to reach a city, right? We're called to reach people in this city, in this, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We're called to reach them. And unless you're connected to the Holy Spirit, you'll drive by every house and miss your opportunity to be able to be a blessing in somebody else's life. See, this says this, the Holy Spirit is your advocate. What does that mean? Your helper, your empowerer, your comforter. I mean, he has a plethora of characteristics of who he is. He's not just Holy Spirit. He's comforter. Anybody ever needed comforting? Anybody ever needed to be strengthened? Anybody ever needed to be helped? Anybody ever needed to be encouraged? That's why the Holy Spirit lives on us, on the inside of us. In 14, 26 through 27, it says this. It says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, I mean, as if he's just really trying to be plain. I mean, he's trying to make sure. I don't want them to think that anything other than it. So I'm going to be really, really clear here. And he says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He's a teacher. He wants to help teach you the ways of the kingdom. See, Holy Spirit teaches you how to live in accordance with heaven. A lot of us are prone to just living in this world and living of this world because that's what we're around. And we get taught through TV. We get taught through social media, through politics, through all of these different things. We get taught. And the Holy Spirit has been put in the inside of us so that we can be taught literally from heaven. That we can be representatives of the kingdom on the earth through the Holy Spirit. I titled this sermon called Sacred Influence. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is your sacred influence. You think about that. See, if you don't consider him sacred, you won't let him influence you. See, when you value the Holy Spirit, you don't go to the gas station and put your card in and ignore, and then go to the cash register and say, well, God bless you. Have a great day. I'll pray for your headache. That was what I did because I didn't consider him a sacred influence. And any time that the Holy Spirit isn't sacred, you will miss your opportunity to be able to be an influence. Jesus is trying to instill this into their hearts and say, look, sacred influence. You've got to be a sacred influence. Holy Spirit is to our spirit what our nervous system is to our body. Right? If I touch something hot, what does my nervous system do? It says, bro, back up. Like, I mean, I got a couple cuts. Everybody's seen it. It looks like I'm trying to slice my arms off. But I didn't. I just hurt myself. And my nervous system let me know real quick that I hurt myself. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? He is your nervous system to your spirit. When you need to be taught, the Holy Spirit is there to help teach you, hey, you're hurting yourself. Hey, don't go left. Go right. Hey, move forward. Move backwards. Go to that restaurant. Go to that gas station. Go see the attendant. He's teaching you. And if you're willing to be taught, you will be amazed at what your life looks like in a year. You will have so many stories of testimonies of the things that you've been able to do and you were able to do through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is all day long looking for people to reach, looking for ways to advance the kingdom, looking for ways to make Jesus famous. And he's inside of us. So everywhere we go, if we would just be mindful, when you go into a gas station, when you go into some, say, Holy Spirit, if you want to use me, use me. And just say that. Holy Spirit, if you want to use me, use me. And in that, you allow yourself to be a sacred influence. in that moment, you allow yourself to be able to be taught and to be able to teach somebody else the ways of the kingdom. See, we get from the Holy Spirit where we acknowledge him. We get from the Holy Spirit where we acknowledge him. You have to be willing to acknowledge the Holy Spirit if you want to see what he's capable of doing in your life and through your life. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just in your life. He wants to go through your life. He wants to be that river of living water that goes through your life. And that water that touches you touches somebody else. Right? We are not called to be reservoirs where the Holy Spirit just downloads us and we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then on Sunday, it was so good. And I can't wait to get to my cubicle on Monday and just get into the podcast and listen to some worship and just be mindful of myself and nobody else. That's a reservoir. The Holy Spirit is in you saying, you got to let me out. You got to let me touch somebody. You got to let me do something for somebody. You think about that. That is what the Holy Spirit is longing to do, is to go and touch people and bless people and move on people's hearts. But we have to be aware of what he wants to do first. You have to acknowledge him and say, God, whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, use me. And in that, you will be inconvenienced. I know some of y'all are out right there. You're like, I have a schedule. I do lunch at 11 o'clock. Allow your schedule to change. Shouldn't we prioritize Holy Spirit over our schedule? Shouldn't we allow the Holy Spirit be what drives and dictates and determines our lives? Maybe you're miserable because you haven't given the Holy Spirit an opportunity to use you. We're blaming that church. I can't get fed. Maybe it's not the church and maybe it's nobody else's fault, but your unwillingness to allow the Holy Spirit to be acknowledged and to be used through your life. All the miserable Christians that I've ever met are stopped up reservoirs. I'm serious. Every one of them that I've met, they're doing nothing for the kingdom and they're miserable at themselves if they're really honest. Because you cannot, we go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's like, oh my gosh, can you flip and believe that? A dude, leper just got healed? A blind dude's eyes just got opened? A tax collector just gave his entire amount of money back to whoever? And then he said, I'll get a loan and I'll pay back anybody else that I need to. The scriptures are full of activity. Why? Because that's the role of the Holy Spirit. The only reason your life is boring is because you're not letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do through you. I hope you will come back next week. See, you don't get holy without the Holy Spirit. I know that we all are like in this progression to move towards another place in our lives to be holy, to be in this position of looking like Christ, but you cannot get holy without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says this. In John chapter 16, verse 8, this is what it says. And when he comes, meaning the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its what? Sin. Do you know what the Holy Spirit deals with in your heart? Sin. Your wrong thoughts, your wrong motives, your wrong ambitions, your wrong drivenness. All of those things that are not like the Holy Spirit convicts. And in that, notice what he does. He doesn't say that the Holy Spirit removes them. The Holy Spirit convicts and gives you an opportunity to surrender them. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, this is wrong. You've been having lustful thoughts of someone that you're not married to. Hey, you know what? That you've been carrying around that unforgiveness for a few years. You want to keep carrying that, or would you like to give that to me? And you can keep carrying it and toting it in your little roller bag. No, that's my forgiveness. You're proud of it. You got the label and everything. It's got a tag on it. In case you lose it, it says Brian's unforgiveness. You're like, no. Holy Spirit says, hey, anytime you want to give that bag to me, I'll take it from you. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't say, boy, you better get your stuff together. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Again, he will let you get rid of the sin you want to get rid of, and he will let you keep what you want to keep. But he comes to convict. and he comes to remove the things that are not like heaven in you. That's a process. I mean, I get it. I'm not there yet. I mean, it's the process. But the Holy Spirit, as long as you allow him in you, you will begin to progressively move towards looking like Jesus. See, your activity with sin, let me just say this. Your activity with sin is the result of your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The more sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit, the less sin you will live out. Because you will care less about your flesh and your own desires and more about what he says. It's amazing how we pray a blessing. God, you got to move. You got to do this. You got to do this. And the Holy Spirit's feeling like, well, I mean, you're actually causing your own problem. And the Holy Spirit loves you so much that he convicts our lives of sin so that we could get that out and then God can move. Right? It's like, I just think of it as a water hose hooked up to a house. That's heaven. Heaven's wanting to pour out blessings and pour out wisdom and pour out things. And you're over there kinking it and be like, why in the heck won't the water come out of here? Well, it's called sin and you're kinking the line. And if you will let the Holy Spirit deal with your hands and you let it go, all of a sudden the water starts flowing. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do, is to say, hey, bro, you're kinking your own hose and you're blaming heaven for it. And you're never going to accomplish what God has called you to do. I've got so much more, but we'll just get through here. Okay, John 15, 13 through 15 says this. Again, this is in red. It says this, there is no greater love. I'm sorry, that's 16. I mean, that was 15. This is 16. In verse 13, it says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. What kind of Spirit is he? Truth. So you have to know that the Holy Spirit isn't going to lie to you. Like, psych. Just kidding, man. The Spirit of truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you all about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and this is why I said this. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, there's this passage where it talks about into all truth. You and I can get to truth, but you cannot get into it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can take you into truth. He's the only one that can take you and take you it to the door and take you through the door. It is the Holy Spirit. In our own intellect, we can sometimes get to the door. We know what we should do. We know we shouldn't do certain things. We know we shouldn't, we know we should have blessed that person at the attendant at the gas station. I knew I should have done that. I led myself to truth, but the Holy Spirit, had I been obedient, he would have led me into truth, into her life. But I said, hey, God bless you, I got to go. Because my trip home was that much more important. And what I did is I missed out on allowing her to be exposed to all truth. So this is the third point, if you want to take it, since we've got to wrap this up. But this is what I took from that, that the Holy Spirit will get you into what only you can get to. The Holy Spirit will get you into what only you can get to. There are a lot of things that we are good at getting to. Like, I can get into a relationship, I can get into a career, I can get into parenting, but if anybody has a child, you need the Holy Spirit, because he will lead you into all truth. Jaylee's an amazing kid, but you still need the Holy Spirit, okay? See, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to establish confidence in you. You need confidence. You need to be able to know that when you go to work, you have the Holy Spirit and he has every answer you need. Every problem that you're going to face, the Holy Spirit already knows. And so he allows you to say, hey, I've got you. I'm going to take you into all truth. I'm going to reveal to you whatever it is that you need. And there is no truth withheld by those who are guided by the Holy Spirit. God isn't being like, well, no, you haven't earned, you haven't had the Holy Spirit in you long enough for me to reveal anything. There isn't a baby Holy Spirit and an adolescent, you know, and then a mature. Like, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And when you accept him, he comes into your life and he does not withhold revelation. As hungry as you will seek him, is as much as he will feed you. Amen? If you would stand this morning. Man, I don't want this just to be a sermon. I want this to be something that you long to know the Holy Spirit. That you, this week, it's like, God, I've got to know the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, reveal yourself. Help me see you for who you are. You need the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the echo of the kingdom. Anything that you hear the Holy Spirit say is what's heaven saying to you. It's what the Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father is saying to you. Man, think about that. That when Jesus was, when the Holy Spirit was telling me, hey, I want you to stop at this gas station. I want you to go see the attendant. That was heaven wanting to touch her. And I missed it. Don't have that. That was like 10 or 11, that was 12 years ago. And I can still share it with major regret because I missed my opportunity to allow her to know who Jesus was. He wants to lead you into all truth. He wants you to be able to be Jesus on the earth and minister and touch people's lives. And I just pray that you desire and long to be used. So if that's you this morning, you say, man, that's me. I long to be used by the Holy Spirit. I just want to pray over you this morning if that's you. If you just slip your hand up, I just want to know who you are. But I also want to pray this specific prayer over you. Raise your hand if that's you. Because I believe that as you pray this prayer out today, that God is going to begin to reveal himself even this week, that he's going to begin to highlight himself, that he's going to begin to reveal himself to you this week. Father, I thank you, God, for every hand raised, every heart surrendered, that God, as we call and we seek out who you are, Lord, that you would begin to reveal to us, God, our assignment on this earth, Lord. That God, that you would begin to move and you would begin to demonstrate yourself through our lives. God, we want to be able to demonstrate who the kingdom is on the earth. We love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, reveal to us who you are, Holy Spirit, this week. And this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know the price that he paid for you, you say, I want to know, I want to encounter this Jesus that you've talked about. You say, I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, if you would just slip your hand up real quick. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you didn't truly fully live it out. But this morning, you're saying, I want to get serious with the Holy Spirit. I want to get serious with serving him. If that's you this morning, if you would just raise your hand real quick. I just want to pray for you. We love you, God. We love you. We thank you for who you are, what you desire to do through our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.